Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Flats and Shanks Guinness Six Nations podcast. I am doing it from further southwest than normal. I'm in Devon, and Tommy Boy looks to be on a Chesterfield sofa at the Phoenix Club.
I'm in the main boudoir, which I don't get let into very often.
Oh, no.
Let me tell you. Yeah. House is full. So just trying to hide away, mate. Trying to hide away. Office is too loud. Got kids running around. I did notice that you are in a pair of Lycra cycling shorts. Talk to me about that. Chafing?
No, dear listeners. No, I've got normal pair of chino shorts on, but when I sit down, they do look a bit tight. But when I stand up, they're about right.
Like your trousers. Like your chinos. Look spray on.
I had a thing recently. What I won't do is I won't say the brand because they were really nice, and I won't say the brand. But I got a load of trousers, put my dimensions in, measured everything literally with a tape measure at the kitchen table. You know, put your measurements in, and they make them to come and fit. And they sent. I just got loads of pairs, and they were like miles off. And it was like, am I completely like? No, that's right. They say right. What? Put a pair of jeans on that fit and tell us the measurements of those jeans. So that's what I did, exactly that. Jeans that I wear like every day. And the fit, and it's like, whoa, this is miles off. So I was like, right, I'll actually come in and do it because it makes more sense. Went in, got measured by a member of staff, did the whole thing, measured me once, twice, thrice to check, resent the trousers in different sizes, nothing fit, had to send it all back. And actually, really nice people, but I'm actually gave up. It actually didn't fit at all.
But you get really excited, like if you're trawling through the internet and you find a pair of chinos and they're called the Dai Youngs because you know they'll fit.
Yeah, nice and wide.
Yeah.
Nice and wide through the gentleman's area.
The biggest calves I've seen for a while.
Yeah. Dais.
Mm.
Yeah. Dai Youngs chinos made for oxen. I don't know if oxen have very big calves. Big calves are like such a myth. A lot of myth. Having big calves being a great thing is such a myth. It's a bit like when you hear people say, Mike Tyson, I think, said once, the only people who desperately want to be really rich are people who've never been really rich. And it's like the only people who really want big calves are the people who don't have them. And the people that have them are like, nah. I'd give half of these back if I could.
You'd want alligator cut, wouldn't you? Because I mean, crocodile. Because if a crocodile stood up, you know, you got really short legs, and they're really fat and chunky as well.
Yeah, exactly. Not easy. I tell you who I reckon who would have more trouble than me, way more trouble than me, would be T.T. Lamasotelli, the old Saracens prop who plays for the USA.
Mm.
Now his bottom half was large. Louis Picamole.
Yeah, I suppose that's why a lot of people wear shorts all the time then, wouldn't it? They, you know, because
like me now, winter, wearing shorts. Mm, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Just comfort. Like, obviously I wear trousers for work all the time, but like I'll stand up and quite often, I tell you, when I get home and put my trousers in the wash, there will be like basically mud.
Blood?
on mud on the inside of each calf. And that is because when I sit down, your trousers ride up a bit, like when you can see your socks, but my calves don't let them down again. So when I stand up, my trousers are 4 to 6 inches above my ankles every time. So you just use the heel of your opposite shoe to just push them down. And then when you get home, you've got mud all over your trousers from your heels.
Big Jim Hamilton came to Wales v Scotland in my locker room, and he had these trousers which were, they were like cotton. They weren't jeans, they were cotton. And when he sat on a stool, the bottom of the trouser came up to like the bottom of his calf muscle.
Mm.
And they were made to measure. And they looked a bit short to me.
He's doing some funny stuff with his clothing these days.
No, he's not. He's just wearing black.
I really like it. I've seen him wear some really fruity stuff. Like during the World Cup, we met up and he was wearing some really fruity stuff. But I did really like it because sometimes I feel a bit like we actually arrive in a uniform a little bit. And as I was at this thing the other day, we all looked basically exactly the same. And I was a bit like, yeah, I wouldn't mind doing that. But then I tried to wear a nice like camel coloured zip through jumper, and you introduced me to Stage as a gingerbread man. So
yeah, well, I think that is the new sort of Six Nations uniform now, is 3/4 zip, cashmere top,
navy
jeans, navy or grey, with either a white t-shirt, white shirt, and either white sneakers or RM Williams boots.
But the gag that goes around every Six Nations, which is great, of the bootcut jeans with the brown leather loafers, which is great, that's going a bit now. That's leaving us a little bit now. I was at Twickenham on Saturday, and I thought, you know, the old gag is that it's the barber jacket brigade, and it kind of is, right? Mm. But it seemed less like that than ever before, actually. Like it was a bit like being, and this is neither a negative nor a positive. It was when I pulled in, I was like, I could be at Wembley now going to a football match. So there's a lot of like what you call casuals. There's a lot of younger people dressed like that who don't look posh and aren't wearing quilted barber jackets. They are, it's kind of the trench coat mafia type thing, but everyone was looking smart. It was just kind of a slightly different vibe. And then when I came, when some friends popped back into like the corporate thing at half time, they said that people were booing and a couple of people were shouting very rude words at the players as they were coming off for not having been playing as well as they wanted them to, whatever. And it just felt like a slightly different vibe at Twickers from normal. There you go.
Yeah. Well, it's not great there, is it? One thing you can't do very well.
Can you said you're going to, before we started recording, you said you're going to inject loads of energy into this. It sounds like you're on diazepam.
Nah, it's your signal's bad, mate. You keep coming in and out. Yeah.
Oh, bugger. I've got really good Wi-Fi as well. I've got new Wi-Fi.
You always talk about this. You just say that. You don't even know.
No, I've got new Wi-Fi. I actually have got new Wi-Fi.
What's the upload then?
How do I do that?
Ah, I see. You don't even know.
How do I do it? I'm doing it now. I'm doing it now, you bastard. Speed test, is it?
Yeah, whatever you want.
All right. This is don't content worry. For everyone. I've got new blooming thing.
All right.
Download 140.
Yeah. Oh, 140.
143.
Yeah.
140. Upload 26.
Oh, that's good. That's really good, mate.
Yeah.
Take it back.
Up yours, then.
You've got better Wi-Fi than the government.
Better Wi-Fi than Barack Obama.
Yeah.
I have. I've sorted it out, mate, haven't I? So, listen, fella, did you have a nice weekend? I know you were corporating your socks off on Saturday. You decided to take a space at Twickenham and you filled it in one fell swoop. And poor old Flatsy boy didn't even get an invite, so didn't need me. You had an England captain in there, didn't you? So you don't need me, mate. I know the pecking order.
You did get an invite, sort of. Come along and sit at one of the tables.
Yeah, one of those. It's amazing. Before you tell us how it was on Saturday, it's amazing. Like, not amazing. It's not amazing at all, but happens a lot is that some people have a job and now and again they will do a lunch or a dinner. They'll pop here and pop there and they'll be a guest, and that is fine because they've got other stuff going on. But for a number of us, it kind of is our job slash one of our actual jobs, in that we do it a lot and would probably class as professional kind of thing. But it's amazing how often, or it's interesting how often you get asked to attend an event by someone who has employed you before and who employs you and says, could you come along and sit at a table? So it's this weird concept of, I like these events, but am I going to go to London on a train, at my own expense, sit at a table, listen to an event that would be really good fun, but you haven't employed me, you've chosen someone else, which is absolutely fine. Sit there all night, have to stay probably in a hotel, potentially at my expense as well, and not get home till the next day because you've got guests who've paid extra to sit with a player, whoever that player is. But I don't see any of that. It's a weird little concept, isn't it? Like, is that how it works?
I don't know what you're trying to say, that you don't want to do anything for free because it's your
No,
job.
it's all no. The point is, it'd be really good fun. It isn't that. No, it's actually, it's a bit like it's inviting someone to work. It's inviting someone to work for free because for us, it's like going to work. Whereas for someone who does five a year, it's just a great night out, a chance to put a suit on. It's like we quite like the chance not to put a suit on.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
But it's inviting someone to go to work for free. Do you know what I mean?
Well, we were together on Wednesday with Alliance at Smith and Walensky. Some lovely food there. Nice little chat we had. Got a little bit looser
Super.
as the wine came in. And it was good. Saturday was good. I enjoyed it. It was a nice room in Twickenham, opposite the ground. So that was all cool. Shane Williams was obviously brilliant. IRB Player of the Year 2008. Record try, or as I called him, world record try holder for Wales.
But that's
58
like winning
tries.
the Super Bowl and being world champions, isn't it?
And Mudos, former England captain Lewis Moody, who told some brilliant stories about Martin Johnson.
Lewis
So
might
funny.
be one of there's so many. It seems to be a sport, like all team sports, that breeds nice people, but he's probably in the
I know,
top couple ever.
I see Shane a lot. I work with him a lot of weekends with the URC, but I haven't seen Mudos for a while, and you actually forget what a great bloke he is. I thought, oh, I bloody love you, mate. Give him a nice hug after, sent him on his way. But it was a nice weekend, mate. It was a nice
Well
weekend.
done, mate.
Rob, apart from the result, because it was a game that Wales probably could have won, we'll get into that in a bit. And Sunday we had a little chat with Lewis Rees-Sammet on Scrum 5, and I'm sort of the foil on these programs, and Shanks will do it. So, Griff, Tony Griff Davis, made me put
Director,
a yeah.
elite.
Griff made me put a NFL helmet on halfway through the chat. But it went down all right. It went down pretty well.
Yeah, it's one of those. You've got to weigh it
If
up, haven't
that's
you, in the
my
moment?
role, I'll take it.
You've got to weigh it up in the moment, haven't you? And sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we don't quite read it right, and that's fine.
I felt
You
bad
can't get
though,
everything
because
right.
right at the end, when Lauren Jenkins, who presents it, was doing her little outro or out, whatever we want to call it, she was just sort of tapering off the show, about to say goodbye. Thank you to Topsy Ojo, Rhys Priestland, and Tom Shanklin. I just pulled the helmet out from under the desk, the NFL helmet. I said, go on, you wanted to put this on? Go on,
Tommy.
Lauren. Go on, Lauren. Put it on. Put it on. So she put it on.
Had to then.
I tucked her
It's
right
a
up,
bit
but
like when
she did it, to be fair.
you and I were in Tbilisi in Georgia and they with BBC and they put us on like a national chat show. Said these guys are rugby guys from England. And it was the most bizarre little setup. And I told them that you were a really good dancer. That's like, you won't do it. Shanks are a really good dancer, and they're like, okay, let's go. And you literally stood up. Do you remember? Was that right? You stood and you actually did stand up and dance. It was good.
I had
Well
nowhere to go. I literally, I was looking
done.
around
You had
for a
nowhere to go. It
corner.
was perfect.
I was looking around for any exit. I couldn't. But yeah. Without touching on the rugby yet, because we'll have a nice little break with a couple of adverts, well-placed advert. How was your week or 4 or 5 days?
Yeah, it's
Maybe a
good.
busy day.
I enjoyed our lunch with Allianz. That was nice. And then, as I said to you and your mate Rog afterwards, there's always an option that these things. Like we stayed on for a pint afterwards, and it was nice. There's always an option then to kick on and make it a night out because you're stuck. Because I'm staying overnight, and I said no. It's 6 o'clock, 6:15, whatever it is. I'm getting an Uber and I'm going back to my hotel, and I'm going to be there on my own. And then when I get peckish, I'm going to walk over the road. Skip the room service over the road to a Nando's in South Ken. I'm going to eat a Nando's on my own. Then I'm going to go back to bed. And it was just like absolute heaven because I've got 40 kids. It was heaven. Like I've just come now, started this pod, come now from trying to get our toddler to have a, to maintain her naps during the day because she's only 2 and a half and she wants to drop her naps. And I've just done half an hour in bed singing. I've
She
got a collection of, I've got a round of six, an album of six nursery rhymes that I do.
So
And I've
your
done six. I've
grandchild?
done.
So your grandchild?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. One of my grandkids. And you're like, she. So I'm like, right, I've done 30 minutes trying to lie with her, which you're not meant to do. You're meant to just leave her. But she just, as soon as I got downstairs, I heard door bang down the stairs, boop, boop, boop. I finished sleeping. I thought, right, sod it.
Yeah,
So that's what,
I forgot to say the highlight was Deliveroo and takeaway from
Oh, it's
my
the best.
time.
It's the best.
I had a Nando's as well,
And then
Dave,
on
and I
a day
also,
after, I went up to Huntingdon Races,
oh yeah.
with some friends, and among others, Geordie Murphy was there, Tom Croft was there, Hugo Southwell was there, who I haven't seen for ages. Such a nice bloke. So went up there with, you know, for other lots of people, a few people that you know, but had a really good day up there, stayed over, got an early train down, and then I was I've been going to a lunch for Guildford Rugby Club for 4 or 5 years now. I think it started pre-COVID and then carried on, I think. But yeah, I've got to know those guys really well. So it's quite nice to I pitch up there every year now, and it's low key, but really, really nice. And they give money to charity and that sort of stuff. So it ended up a little bit not worse for wear, but probably had three more than I said I would. But yeah, then Twickenham Saturday, which was great in the green room with all the lads and ladies in there. That was pretty raucous, great fun. And then the red eye over to Dublin and Dublin and back,
Raucous,
Dublin and back on
raucous. That's
Sunday.
such a Twickenham thing to say. It's
Raucous.
raucous.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be, yeah. It's loose in there, jeepers.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's really, really good fun. But there were so many of us. I tell you, I spent most of the day with Phil Vickery. His physique is quite something.
Back bacon bread.
It's quite, he doesn't eat any bread, mate. It is quite something. He has completely changed his physique. 60% of me, please. No, 40% of me, please, for him. 60% resentful that I haven't done it because, wow, he looks incredible. Is he happy, though? I hope so. Tom Curry
Look
was
to
in
it.
with us, injured, but he was in with us. Very nice, very nice man. It's funny, like I was thinking about this. You know, like when you do commentary and punditry, it's one of those jobs where people say, "Yeah, well, how long do you think it will last? Because it's temporary, isn't it?" And it's like, well, hang on a minute. The people you're listening to have been doing it for 20 or 30 years. Nick Mullins, like Stuart Barnes, was at Sky for 25 years. Like that's two and a half rugby careers. Miles Harrison is still going like week to week and is still among the best sports commentators on the planet. Like, so it's one of those, but I think now it, whereas it used to be sort of in the sort of Stuart Barnes on Sky Sports era, it would be you do the rugby club on whatever night, Tuesday night, until that ended. You commentate on a game and you write a column. But now we are kind of intermingling with. We're woven in with the players, really. There are so many features and so many points at which we cross paths. That is corporate and that corporate and this commercial event and this charity thing. And and this feature ahead of the weekend, you end up just, I actually think you can, it's easier to stay in touch when you're literally in touch with them. But also you've got a, it's probably harder now to be objective during games because you actually do have a diluted version of a relationship with some of the players. So you've got to really have a
There's
word
no
with
separation,
yourself.
Is there? Before you see them all the time.
No, you've got to have a word with yourself that you're going to be honest when you do it and you don't bottle it. And that's important. Whereas before, I mean, I honestly think there would have been, even though he's a legend in my eyes, certainly, there would have been loads of players at Bath when I was there. And Stuart Barnes would walk across the field to commentate on a game and most of them wouldn't know who he was because they never saw him. They just heard him and read him. They never saw the guy.
Yeah.
So that's completely different these days, isn't
it? I think the hardest thing at the moment for what I do in Wales is, like, I don't know, a year or two ago, you could properly get into the team if they weren't performing because they were full of superstars and it was a settled team. But now, you know, we've got so many youngsters coming through. Like, what are you meant to say? You can't just hammer the youngsters. You can't just hammer the team because they're not performing because they've hardly played together. You've got loads of new caps. You've got youngsters. You got players that are filling a gap, maybe, until better players come along or players come back from injury. So I can't hammer them at the moment. You can maybe for effort, but in terms of skill level, like, Wales are way off being able to play like Ireland or France, and they don't have the size or power, so it is a little bit difficult. I think I have to be realistic about where Welsh rugby is at the moment. So I think I'm probably less critical now than I was a couple of years ago, just because of the state of what we got at the moment and players retiring, and you know, a new circle of players coming in, a new rotation. So. But England, mate, you've got no excuses. You've got 10 teams. You've got all the money in the world. Should be winning every single game.
Oh, yeah,
slag
I agree.
And get into them.
It's like winning every single game is pushing it. But I think, like, it was interesting before the weekend. Like, at the, was it the World Cup? No, before the World Cup. It was Six Nations before the World Cup, I think. France said, ahead of the World Cup, we are changing our match day experience. And we spoke about this on the pod. And they did a few little bits that they've maintained. They changed the sort of music they play. They've got more fan interaction. And it all sounded a bit cheesy, except it was amazing and it worked. It was absolutely brilliant from the word go at the Stade de France and all the rest of France, the actual experience in the games. And then Jamie George, when he was made captain, who for me is, he's the obvious choice, him or Genge. But then what I would say is, Genge and Joe Marler are verging on interchangeable. They're both high class, whereas Jamie George would be out there on his own a bit with Karen Dickey injured a bit lately. So, and he plays a lot of minutes. And if you, for example, make Genge captain, he's probably not going to play 78 minutes in every game because there's Marler there as well. So anyway, he said he wants to get Twicken and Rumbling. And of course, it takes more than a couple of weeks, but it didn't quite work at the weekend. And what it's a bit, to me, like, I've always thought halftime entertainment was a ridiculous notion, and I could be completely wrong here, and I'm sure I've been proven wrong a million times, but rugby, certainly, maybe not a test level, but certainly at premiership level, you want to get people out of their seats spending money at halftime. So what you do is you spend loads of time and effort and money on field entertainment at halftime, which literally pins people to their seats. Put some music on and leave it. Let people bop their heads and have a chat or whatever, but leave them free to go and buy a pint. Anyway, I've never quite made sense of that in my own mind. But at Twickenham, it seemed a bit disjointed. I thought the longer walk-in was great and all that. But actually, what I thought when Jamie George said all those things, we want to get Twickenham behind us and make you love us, you know, kind of thing. It's so much to do with the way you play.
Yeah.
Like, if you play with attacking endeavour, if you really go for it, the crowd will, you're so much more likely to have the crowd engage with you and love you. Yeah.
Win or lose. I said this on Sunday. I said, you know, Wales have got Ireland in 2 weeks' time, or just under 2 weeks' time. And I'm not expecting a win, but I just want to see something, a product on the field that I can relate to, that I can get behind, I can get excited by, and just think, do you know what? They gave it a go. I want to watch it again, and I want to watch them again. That's it. I just, that's what I want to see. Like, regardless of winning or losing, I just want to see something that the fans, the public, everyone can get behind and think, right, they ran Ireland, they gave them a go, they weren't too predictable, they tried something different, and I got excited by it, and I want to watch it again. Like, and when we covered Cardiff Bath.
Yeah,
Bath
like that.
Won. Yeah, like that. Like, Cardiff lost, but you left that game thinking, I can't wait to watch them again, just because it was exciting. So that's what I want to see. Shall we have a little 2-minute break?
Yeah, quick break.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
We're back.
We're back,
Tommy. Let's talk about it. Let's really talk about it.
First game up.
I've only seen the highlights of it so far because I've been in transit and I was at Twickenham doing stuff when the game was on. But Scotland, France, I've seen the last bit, the TM at the try that wasn't allowed.
Before we get there, I really enjoyed that game. I think Scotland had better chances and towards the end of that first half should have come away with more points. And ultimately, I think that's where they lost the game. Gael Fiku was amazing. He had a bit of a kick up the backside from last week, and he was just excellent. There was a really good segment by Bernard Jackman in Ireland about Scotland's defence.
Really good.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it? And he's right. No one ever defends there with the nine. The nine is more of a... So Scotland were defending with one person on the blind side, and France had two. So... Scrum half Ben White, his job was to try and get round and defend basically two defenders versus three attackers. You had to put another defender around there. Then the nine is in the boot and he filters in. So he ends up coming inside the inside defender and pushing them all out. And that's where France ended up chipping over the top and scoring. But like some of the Scottish play was amazing. Like the try by Ben White was brilliant, but the play there, the attack shape was amazing. The hands from Hugh Jones were just so underrated. Like, that's just, people have missed that part because the try had everything in it, but that little catch and give for Ben White was incredible, I thought, from Hugh Jones. And France came back into it, and I honestly thought that Scotland were going to win. I thought, this is it. But
yeah.
Now, let's get to what you're going to say.
Well, let's try, wouldn't it?
100%.
100%.
Now, what I can't really understand is Nick Berry's in an incredible position to see that. And you can see by the reactions of Scotland players, they think the ball is on the line or over the line, on the floor. And it is. But he is a little bit uncertain. He's probably hoping deep down that the TMO has a clear view of it. And he can award it.
Yeah.
Because if he had said, it's a try, can you check the ground? Is there any reason why I can't award it? Then it would have been a try. But because he said no try held up, TMO then had to have conclusive evidence. It. Yeah. But and there is a shot where you can see it. And I just think four referees on that field, I think we all know it was a try. They've got to get that right. They've got to.
This whole thing about if someone's got a clever reason for it, let me know. But this whole reason that basically Scotland losing that match because of the question Nick Berry asked his TMO. Right, the on-field decision is no try. Can you disprove it, basically, clear and obvious fashion? I think, well, why are we then stuck to that? Why can't someone say to him, you imagine watching it in Aussie Rugby League, for example. You'd say, mate, you've got to give that. Whatever you feel like someone would say, mate, you've got to give that. And you feel like if Barnsley or Nigel Owens were TMO, they'd say, listen, because of the question you've asked, I'd have to say no, but I do think it's a try. So what do you want to do? My recommend. You feel like those senior guys would have the authority and the confidence to say that. But we're stuck to this, well, that's the question he asked. So we all know it's a try, but I'm afraid we can't prove it. So you're kind of like, oh, come on, man. And in a game of infinite nuance and body angles and all that sort of stuff, I but it this is the sort of, what would you call it? The constant sort of contradiction around tech. It's like, well, we brought the tech in to make sure all of these decisions are right, but this tech is still organized and operated by human beings who will be flawed. So this is kind of careful what you wish for territory, really.
Yeah, and the TMO initially said it was a try. You could see ground, and then he started to backtrack, and then I think they just got themselves into a hell of a pickle, and couldn't find a way out. So it wasn't overly clear, in just trying to back him up a little bit. It wasn't right. Oh, this is super duper clear, but there is an angle where the ball does come off the boot, and it does seem down on the ground,
And it sinks,
and.
yeah. And
Yeah, and I think everyone on that field who was around there knows it was a try.
the point, kind of oddly, it isn't that the TMO and the officiating team were wrong. It kind of oddly isn't. I don't think that's actually the point. I think the point is that the question he asked to the TMO meant that they couldn't award the try, even though I reckon they could see it was a try because of the question he asked. Had he asked a different question, so it's not actually about the tech. It's not actually about the scoring of the try, the fairness of it. It's actually about the human being choosing one
Yeah,
question or
human
another.
error.
And
Human error.
yeah,
No,
well,
because he can still override it. He can still say, there's a
change
big
my
screen,
question.
they're all looking at it. No, not even questioning. It's down to him. The TMO doesn't have full say on the game. The ref does. So an error there. And if I was Scotland and Gregor Townsend, I would be very
Oh,
annoyed at
mate.
that because,
Oh, mate.
yeah, they would have been two from two. And now it's got to be next year. Scotland's year instead of this year. And
Yeah,
they
brutal.
as much as we want to dress it up, they were robbed basically in that game.
I
England.
was in, oh, England. Yeah, what did you make of it? 'Cause we're both in rooms watching it on TV, aren't we? As opposed to, we're sort of, well, I was in the stadium watching it, but.
I made of it that I thought England's line speed was brilliant in the first half. And a lot of that comes down, I think, to Henry Slade at 13, just cutting off passes. What they do at Exeter, they just shoot up the line so fast. If you get quick ball against that, you're knackered. And you've got to be really fit because it's literally sprinting. And you can watch any set piece that Wales had, especially line out. England's line speed is far quicker than Wales's. So Wales just getting knocked back over the gain line. And Wales aren't a team really that are great at creating sort of second, third, fourth phase tries. They rely heavily on first phase gain line to put teams under pressure because they're not a team like Ireland or Scotland, like a once in a generation team, those two I just mentioned, because they're not really great at creating stuff off phase play. So they just rely on quick ball off first phase. And when you don't get it, they just get knocked back and they get forced to kick. But the try Alex Mann scored, I thought, that's what I want to see more of. But Wales aren't in that situation yet where they can create tries like that constantly. That was really well worked, and they got wide and they got themselves a nice little pod to put it back inside. Got the hands free. Tommy Raphael was bloody excellent, mate. Like
What
world
player?
class. World class is what I would say to him. Like, should be on the
Lions.
international scene. Yeah, I think those last two performances like that, gotta be. I thought Elliot Dee was good at hooker. And then we struggled, Wales did, in the second half, especially scrum time. You've got young, inexperienced props coming on.
I actually thought about the scrums. I thought that...
Yeah, go on, because I gave you a call after.
Yeah, Archie Griffin, young guy from Bath, who's barely played for Bath, only played a couple of games for Bath. He's then playing tight head for Wales against England at Twickenham. You know, pretty big.
I know, it's huge.
He's hardly played any men's rugby, and he's playing in that game. I mean, and I actually, a couple of penalties given away, sure, but I don't think he got, he didn't get out scrummage because the scrum's never really completed. You know, he's got, again, coming up back from injury, pumped up, off the bench. He's going to have it tough anyway. So if he doesn't get the scrum right, he's going to have it tough. And I think he knew that, and he was just losing his balance, desperate to get in early. There'll be a bit of second row weight in there, a bit of pre-weight in there, just nudging him forwards. But mind you, it wasn't happening consistently before that with the same second row. So it's probably the new front rower coming on, and he's just overbalancing, and he's super keen. You could say he's super keen to get stuck in, but actually he's super keen not to get caught in a bad position, not to get caught before he's got into his shape and folded back by Genji, basically. That's what it is. So it's a version of sort of, fear is the wrong word, but it's kind of sporting fear, apprehension and desperate. It's a false start in a sprint is what it is. It's a false start because you're worried the guys around you are quicker than you, and you want to get out ahead, and you get caught a couple of times. So I think it was probably nerves and balance.
What I would say as well is after that driving line out try, when England were down to 13 men, like, I just don't understand what Wales were trying to do. Well, I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to run the ball out of their own line against 13 men. But you don't need to. You don't need to panic in that situation. You kick it, keep the ball in field. But they end up losing shape completely. Itoje whacks Johan Lloyd, who's running back on himself, because it's just chaos. Because I think Wales are panicking, thinking, right, you know, we've got 2-man advantage now. We have to run it. We have to. You don't. Just don't. You don't kick the ball out. Don't slow the game down. But exit properly with a good chase. And Ben Earl, that was a huge amount of power for his try. Slips off Alex Mann. But if you watch on the high angle, watch Cam win it. He's hanging behind the scrum, and his job there is just to plug in the hole, whichever way is picked up. And he gets slightly knocked by the ref and isn't able to make the tackle, even though it's a brilliant carry. You just think maybe if the ref wasn't there, he might be able to affect it. But it was a huge carry. It was absolutely huge.
And then, rock solid scrum, brutal carry off the back. Wow.
It was a really well worked try for Elliot Daly as well.
Yeah.
You could say maybe it was slightly forward, but you've seen them given for many, many teams. And you know, they're obviously the moment of the game would have been their Mason Grady yellow card knock on.
Yes.
Mm.
Which, what do you make of Cam Winnett?
Comes from a 15-22 from George Ford, which was where they got their possession from.
That kick was bloody lovely. What do you make of Cam Winnett?
Another great performance, I thought, from him. A youngster to come into it, second cap, looked good. Really like him. You know, looking like he does the simple stuff well, which is obviously sweeping up behind. Good kicking game. But even like just draw a pass and things like that. You know, when Wales broke England and he drew in Freddie Stewart, it was just slick hands. I tell you, remember that break Josh Adams did down the right-hand side? A couple of things were good about that. One, it was a good set piece from Wales. The second was, it was good attack and it was really good defence, because how many times you see like someone like Winnett with a 2-on-1 hit Josh Adams and the fullback just leaves that player then?
Yeah.
Stewart nails him, which means he's out of the game, because if he didn't nail him, Winnett would have taken that ball on the inside and probably scored. But for any fullbacks watching that, on a 2v1, just nail your man, means they're out of the game.
Yeah. Pick him and hit him.
Can't get a second touch. But the work from George Ford there was huge.
Yeah. Tell you who I like, Chandler Cunningham South. Yes, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's angry, man. He's angry. He plays so angry. So develops so much power. Big fan. Big fan. I think he's going to play a lot of rugby for England. Big fan. I was in Dublin, Tommy.
Yes.
There's not a huge amount to say about this game. It was a wipeout, really. Could have been more points. Italy, I can't remember them realistically looking like scoring. There are one or two bits they did quite nicely, but their midfield, Menoncello and Brex were anonymous. Garbisi didn't feature really. A couple of little bits where he sweeps down the blind and creates some numbers. Actually moves quite nicely in those situations. His handling's excellent, but really very little threat. Capuozzo's hard to get hold of, but it was a bit ad-libbed from him. It's not like he was part of any great attacking pattern or shape. They weren't utilising him to his best, and probably not half the time, but it felt like half the time they had decent set-piece ball, they dropped it. I mean, it's as simple as that. I sound like your dad. We talk about rugby, you know, well, stop dropping it. But they just kind of dropped it. Or, you know, a good number of first phase efforts, they just put the ball on the deck. So undermined any attacking efforts, any attacking plans they had, really.
I'm going to chuck something out there. I think Italy looked better with Tommy Allen at 15. You just have to find a place then for Capuozzo, because Montiuani probably has to play. Arnie is a really good winger as well. But I do think Issy looked more settled with Tommy Allen at the back.
Maybe, yeah.
Capuozzo has to play, I think.
Yeah.
But you've got Montiuani, who isn't the world's quickest wing, but there's a lot of power there, decent Sharp. Number of involvements, and actually he's a handful. He's a proper handful, I think. Yep. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. He scored last week against England, didn't he? Yep. Right at the end. Nice solo try. But Ireland, I agree, like, they were never in danger of losing that. Looked comfortable all the way through. The most impressive thing I can say about Ireland was the amount of changes they made, and they still look like a really well-drilled, oiled machine. You know, they didn't go away from anything that they normally do. They probably weren't as clinical as they'd like to be, but when you think of all the changes they had in, really impressive. Again, Jack Crowley looked ace. Looked really
he did some
ace.
Lovely bits. It's interesting. You think
McCloskey
about how
12
well he
was good as well, mate. As a, like, not just yeah, he was the good, line, but his passing game as well.
Robbie Henshaw, I thought, had a really, really good game, both sides of the ball. But Crawley, you think, well, depends what sort of character
Crowley.
It is, and I don't know
Crowley.
Him. So Crowley, sorry. It's Frawley I'm thinking of, isn't
yeah.
it? Crowley.
Yeah.
Crowley, you think to yourself, will he beat himself up about the conversions he missed? That he perhaps should have got, and I think he probably won't, because he plays like a confident man and he's doing some lovely stuff, some lovely linking and attack, no look passes. I thought he looked great.
Hey, what about,
I thought he looked great. And you know, again, my point still stands that I made last week. What was Johnny Sexton like after 11 or 12 caps? You know, he wasn't the finished article, was he? So I think he's going great.
What about man of the match performance by the young 8-year-old Sung Ireland's call?
Oh,
did I think
not
that's
expect
one
that
of
voice.
The best. That's one of the best things I've seen and heard before a game. And and I've had the pleasure of watching Catherine Jenkins and Charlotte Church in front of me. I don't remember it that well. They both had Christian Louboutin shoes on, jeans, and their rugby jerseys were sort of tucked underneath and out through the top, showing a bit of midriff.
But you don't remember it.
Charlotte was on the left, Catherine was on the right. Yeah, but that was. That was something else.
God, he was amazing, wasn't he?
Brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant. Love that.
So good.
Absolutely brilliant. He was great. And I did not expect, I thought it was going to be cute and lovely. I did not expect that voice to come out of that little boy.
No.
If you haven't seen it, go and watch it. It was the best bit. It's the best bit. But oh yeah, Ireland's super dominant and they're on for the Grand Slam. England got a big job at home against them, I'd say.
But I think if any team can do it, mate, England at Twickenham.
Yep. Agreed.
That's going to be huge.
They'll be underdogs, which isn't that common at Twickenham, but they have lost a lot of games in Twickenham in the last year or two. We're a good few, but geez, that's some team.
Yeah, that's huge.
Some team.
Where are you this weekend, boy? What are you doing?
Weekend off. There's no rugger this weekend for us.
Yeah, of course there isn't. There is for me.
Where are you?
I'm at Park of Scarlets on Friday. They're playing Munster, and then I shoot across to Glasgow. Covering two games there. Cardiff Connaught do a hub from Glasgow, and then Glasgow Dragons. So,
well done, mate.
Yeah, the only problem
is weekend for you.
Yeah, but none of the stars will be playing, so it's a good chance to have a look at some of the talent coming through, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we're starting sleep training this weekend with our baby. So...
Oh, nice. What, your granddaughter. Yeah. Oh, well done.
My granddaughter, yeah. Starting sleep training. So it's mate, it's gonna be fine. It's gonna be absolutely fine, but I'll be a broken man by the next pod, okay, because I'm doing the first three nights. Daddy's got to do the first three. It's real life, mate. Just get over it.
Yeah, no, isn't it? Fine. Just a lot of coffee.
I'm in Devon for a few days now, and it's drizzling a little bit, but tomorrow morning I'm towing Danny Grucock's car to the garage. It's got a fault. And then because it's Valentine's Day, Dan and I are going to hang out and have a barbecue and a couple of ciders in the afternoon. So it could be worse, couldn't it?
I'm going to the Celtic Manor with my family. We're going to stay overnight, have a bit of food, go swimming, do some archery.
But don't rob you. No one's allowed to rob your house today while you're away. Told everyone.
My dad's here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where are you in Devon?
No. Yeah. Who's at my house? God, there is someone there.
Giant from Gladiators. Right, should we go?
Yes, boy. Oi. Right. Lot of rugby chat, low energy today, but that's what people want from us sometimes. That's what they want from us because we're real, mate. We don't pretend we're happy when we're not. Not like those other really successful pods with good blokes that do it.
Hey, you can't have everything, all right? You can't be like really upbeat and great rugby insight. It's one or the other with us, all right? So you choose.
Yeah, I've got to, before I go downstairs now, pretend I'm still doing the pod, but I'm actually going to do some research into parts for old Land Rovers, okay?
Mate, I got to hit the gym. My diet. I had Nando's last week. I had gourmet burger with a milkshake. Madagascar. And
Nando's is all right, isn't it?
Not really. It's not great, mate. It's quite a lot of fat in it. And then on the way back from Twickenham, I forgot. My mind was occupied. And I forgot to stop off at KFC. Then I didn't want to, through Bracknell, then I didn't want to go into a McDonald's in one of the services because I knew there'd be loads of fans there. So,
Here he is.
I basically ate my weight in crisps and sausage rolls and a Star bar from Reading petrol pump services. So.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And I had a Domino's yesterday.
Oh, mate.
Mate.
Well, look, Martin Bayfield told me that once he had McDonald's for all three meals in a day because he was on the road, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So he's still alive, mate.
Yeah, yeah, and he's really successful.
Fine.
So
we'll be fine, just quite fat.
Yeah. Cuddly.
All right, good luck. Mate. Work on it.
Nice one.
Cheers, boy. Well done, guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.